Tech Talk on RNIB Connect Radio.
Hello and welcome to another Tech Talk on RNIB Connect Radio, our weekly programme looking at what's new, what's going on in the world of technology from a blind and partially sighted perspective. If you want to get in contact with the show, please do. Our email address is techtalk@rnib.org.uk. That's techtalk at rnib.org.uk. This week, it is the Tech Talk Christmas special. So, of course, along with a plate full of our usual accessible technology offerings, we'll be thinking about the impact that technology has at this time of year, especially. Joining me this week, Hubert Pavalkovic, Jackie Brown, and Natalie Curran. Going to do things a bit differently this week. So, it's the 23rd that this is initially going out, so we've only got a couple of days left. If Santa could bring you one kind of tech gift, what are you hoping for? What are you looking forward to? I'll start with you, Jackie, on this one.
No, I'm not going to say Braille. Everybody says, oh, Jackie, I want a Braille.
Really?
Yeah.
Glad I'm sitting down.
Yeah. No, I am going to possibly go for the Zoom Pod Track 4 Next. I must admit, I spoke about this a couple of weeks ago on Tech Talk, and Jonathan Mosen has done a really good review of it, and it does sound really interesting. And I like the idea for this gadget of being able to link my phone up. So if I want to record an app or, you know, do something with an app, and voiceover can go through that. That just sounds like my ideal kind of piece of kit. So for me, that would be something I'd love to unwrap if Santa is listening, Martin.
You know Santa's real name? Oh, I didn't know he was called Martin.
Definitely not. A subtle hint at the end there. That was great.
Yeah.
To be fair, it does sound good. It does sound good, this little Podtrack P4. Again, I think I said it as well a couple of weeks ago. Something that I really don't need because I've got a pretty good setup as it is, but it's accessible. It's a new toy.
Yeah.
I want to try it out.
Indeed. And the fact that, you know, it isn't overly expensive. And I always sort of think, oh, I wonder if I should say that, because obviously anything is a considered purchase when you're spending money. So, I mean, but it isn't, what I mean is it isn't in the bracket of, you know, oh, I don't know, I can't afford that, or I'd love one, but it's really, really expensive. So I think I checked the price. I think it's about £160. So it is considered purchase, but yeah.
Yeah, that's what I saw it for, yeah.
Yeah, some of these things can be remortgage your house territory, can't they?
Yeah.
Natalie, what are you looking forward to?
Not looking forward to it in so much as I haven't asked for it. Because a bit like you're saying with the Zoom Pod, I couldn't justify asking for it. I was really taken with the Brilliant 20, which I got to have a quick demo of in Site Village Glasgow. And I don't know what it was that I was so taken with. I don't know if it's a fact. It's been a couple of years since I held a Braille device like that, or if it felt more like my Braille Note Apex than the newer generations of Braille Note, so like the Braille Note Touch and all those, which I've mentioned before. Certainly with the first generation of Braille Note Touch, I wasn't so keen on, because I felt they had created a Braille device from a sighted perspective rather than a Braille device for Braille users. But this one just felt, yeah, it felt really nice, and it was quite small and dinky, and I thought I could put that in a small backpack or a large handbag and be so portable. And then rational Natalie went, and when would you ever use that, Natalie? I did really like it. I was very much taken with it.
It is nice. I do agree with you. It is a very small device. It's really nice to be able to, you know, pop in a bag, as you say, or your backpack. You compare it to multiple devices, I believe. It has sort of an editor, if you like. It's not a fully fledged like Word processor, but it is, it is a good note-taking device. You could even wear it around your neck, actually, if you're on the go taking notes and you had both hands, busy with other stuff at times, you'd know that it was round your neck, and it would be quite useful. And it has, synthetic speech, a cappella voice, which I absolutely detest. But it is a nice little note taker. I do agree, and I do like the position of the keys on it. The Braille keyboard. It is actually very nice. It comes in a little case, I think. So it's yeah.
Yeah, and I think to be fair, the real keys are something as well. Actually, I kind of miss, I think, typing with a Braille keyboard, because I very rarely use a Braille display at work. I just don't find. I don't feel I have the need for it. But the Braille display that I do have is the Mantis Q40, but the full QWERTY keyboard version.
Yeah.
And I think there is something nice about the 6-dot combinations. I don't know, there's just something comfortable about it. But equally, I've had the Focus 40 before. I think I was given that at uni, and I never quite got comfortable with the positioning. So yeah, like I say, I'm not sure exactly what it was about it. It's probably a combination of all of these things, but I did really like it. And if I could come up with a good enough reason, I might have asked for it for Christmas.
It's so funny you guys are saying this because I mean, my dream thing to unwrap would be the Monarch, but I do have a childcare fees and a mortgage to pay, so that's not going to happen anytime soon. But I have had completely other end of the scale. I've had my finger hovering over the buy now button of the Orbit Writer for ages. Hubert's fault,
I know nothing.
because but it's a similar thing for me of I don't really need it because I've got the Habel one and I've got plenty of other keyboards. But so my challenge is, when I'm commuting, when I'm traveling, I sometimes want to just catch up with a bit of work at the same while I'm traveling. If there's like an email that I've not had a chance to get to before I left the office, I could just respond to that on my work phone. But trying to type on that thing
When you're on the
on,
move, in a car
yeah.
or on a bus, it is really hard.
It is, especially because, so you can do Braille screen input on Android devices now, which is great. But the problem is, the way my workplace, because what you have on Android is you have different profiles. So your work apps and your personal apps are kind of separated off from each other. For example, I can't grab something from Outlook on my work profile and paste it into Notes on my personal profile. It's contained. And that works the other way around as well. And one of the things they've done, or I think Work have done it, is restricted the keyboards. So you can only use the built-in Samsung keyboard. So I can't switch, because Braille screen input is seen on TalkBack as another keyboard, I can't use it. I can do voice typing, but I can't do Braille screen input.
Yeah.
That sounds really on the one hand, what you described, the two profiles makes a lot of sense. But then the keyboard thing makes no sense at all. Also, just on a side note, do any of you struggle with typing or reading for any length of time from a sort of travel sick perspective? So what I mean is, a lot of people, when reading, particularly in a car or on a bus or something like that, I think it's less prominent on trains or on airplanes because the movement is smoother and the lines are straighter. But a lot of people, they try to read or write whilst in a car or a bus or traveling somewhere, they can feel really queasy, and some people can get that way really fast, and others are more tolerant of it. Now, I actually have a similar problem, and that would surprise a lot of people because, well, you can't see it. But I think the process is still the same in your head. And although I can't see the keyboard, in my head, I can see myself typing it because I think like that. I used to have sight, I've got a visual memory, I've got a visual association. So it might not be accurate, but as far as I'm concerned, what I'm listening to, I'm also seeing. And yeah, I can feel queasy. And I just wondered if anybody else felt the same way.
I mean, I don't really, but then I've never had vision, so I don't really have that reference, I guess.
I don't either, but I do when I think more than Braille input, I do visualize the QWERTY keyboard. I'm so focused when I'm typing a message or an email on my screen of my phone with one finger. I'm just so focused on listening to the feedback of the keyboard as I'm using it. I just imagine this keyboard that's QWERTY. I've not actually seen a QWERTY keyboard, but I just know instinctively where all the keys are meant to be. So I just move my hand across or my finger to the letter that I want and just lift it. And it is slower. There's no doubt about it. If you're doing that with your finger and you want to compare it with, typing on a QWERTY keyboard that has a room, and it's an actual physical keyboard, then of course, using a touch screen is going to be slower. But I do visualize in my head kind of a keyboard, but it doesn't. It maybe it doesn't even look anything like what it should do. But I don't. It doesn't make me feel queasy at all.
Because I got the Habel one for this purpose, for kind of doing work or keeping up with things on the move. And because it's Braille, it can be smaller. But because you can only do one device at a time, I just find it pretty clunky. Whereas the Orbit can do, well, six devices technically, five Bluetooth and one USB. But then, I don't know. Yeah, how much do I really need it? I'm not sure. But Jess slash Santa, if you're listening, Orbit Writer, £99. You know, could be happy with that. Hubert, what are you thinking? I mean, you splashed out at Site Village fairly recently, didn't you? So you.
Well, I did. Yes, I have bought two of your two.
Yeah.
I've bought the Brilliant and I've bought the Orbit Writer. But one thing I've been resisting to buy since they announced it, even though I'd like it rather than needing it, the AirPods Pro 3s. Now, my AirPods are fine. They work fine. I technically have no reason to upgrade, hence why I haven't spent any of my own money on them. However, I am not stopping Santa from kindly dropping me a box of them underneath my tree. Caesar, if you're listening, feel free to, use your smartphone to buy them.
Smart bone, I love that.
And please don't use my bank account again. I'm sure you did that the last time you bought me some. So yeah, the new AirPod Pro 3s, I really like the sound of when they were announcing them and talking through their features. I would love to have them. So there's still a bit of time to go. So, let's see if we can get that underneath the tree.
What about the AirPods 3 was it that you particularly liked?
I particularly liked their new transparency features being a bit better. So the new transparency would have been a bit louder. And also, I like that there's more sizes of the silicon tips to be able to match your ears better. Because for me, I don't mind the silicon ear tips, but I think they now use a different foam for it. So it might be a bit more comfortable. I always find the silicon tips a bit intrusive.
Yeah,
But.
I'm not keen on those. I've got old AirPods, and the reason I've not upgraded, although I think some of them could probably do with it, is because the next generation up is when they start doing the silicon bits, which I'm a lot less keen on.
When I've tried them, the one thing Apple have done, which is better, is the fact that they don't go that far into your ear, therefore do not make it as uncomfortable, because some of them, when you put into your ear, they go right into your ear, and that's
Oh no, I don't
no, no,
like
no.
that at
But
all. I don't
these
like
are
the earbuds.
these are surprisingly less uncomfortable. So yeah, let's hope we come back in the new year, and I might be having a pair. Unlikely, but one can dream.
Can I also just ask you here, but quickly, why did you get the Brilliant 20 and the Orbit Writer? So, like, what was it distinct to them both that meant you wanted to buy them both?
I think for the Braille,
Does that make sense?
yes, it does. It does, and it's good because it helps you to make sure that you've spent the money, you can justify it. So for me, I think it's all about interviews. Working for RNIB Connect Radio, I do interviews on location sometimes, and I like to be able to read the questions or my Braille prompts, because I always write prompts rather than questions. And if I've got my Mantis, I can't really use that if I'm, let's say, walking around Site Village. interviewing people, you
No,
can't really
you
use it. But
couldn't.
if you've got a brilliant hanging off your neck, you can quickly just reach out, look at the prompt of a question you want to ask, and just ask it without having to kind of, have a pop-up desk or try to desperately maneuver yourself to reach your Mantis Q40 on your other shoulder while avoiding the bag on the other shoulder. It is that kind of portability, whereas the Orbit Writer is my lazy keyboard. When the devices are far away or hard to reach, that's where the Hable One comes out, and that's where the writer will come.
So does the Orbit Writer, is it just a Braille keyboard or does it have a Braille display as well?
No, it's just a Braille keyboard.
Oh.
Have we tempted another person?
Very tiny.
That's very
You on
interesting.
commission?
That's a no. I mean, not I wish, but
You
this.
should do.
This was my thing, though. I was, for some reason, I don't know why, because I knew it was just input, but I was picturing it more of a desktop style keyboard. Like, I don't think I realized until you started talking about it just how kind of portable it was.
I think the only time I realized is when someone I was talking to said to me, "This is what it is," and where, and I said, "That's interesting, but I actually want to see it," and that's where Site Village came into play. But yeah, that's my Christmas wish, indeed.
Well, there you go. Well, I suppose we'll see in the new year how much we got, how generous Santa was. Okay, stick with us. This is the Tech Talk Christmas special.
Hi, I'm Sightless Combat, and my life hack for today is using Meta Ray-Bans to record video footage. If you've always thought, I want to record a video of insert interesting observational thing here, I don't know, your dog running towards you, or a band you're watching play to show to a friend, that kind of thing, then why not use the Meta Ray-Bans? Because with that, if you're looking in the right direction, then you don't have to worry about holding the camera still or accidentally covering it, that kind of thing, because your head is pointing the right way and it can just film and you can just enjoy the moment as well. And of course, people can also hear your reactions to things as well. Having filmed things on roller coasters myself with these, having a cord to attach to the back of the glasses so they don't fall off of your head is also a good idea, whilst speeding through various elements of that. But the fact of the matter is, I don't have to worry as to whether the footage looks good because the glasses have taken care of that for me. Now, of course, you might need to turn off various features to, extend the battery life, but the fact of the matter is, without that, I wouldn't be able to capture the footage in the first place. So it's great to be able to use these for something other than just the AI features that they're being touted for.
Hi, my name is Ross Megan, and my life hack is being able to control as many things as I can with my voice in my home, doing things sometimes on your phone or using complicated maybe operating systems or whatever it might be, can sometimes be quite challenging and inaccessible. And so I a few years ago decided to get really invested in sort of the smart home ecosystem, things like customizable lights and smart plugs and air purifier type devices as well. If anything can be controlled with the voice, then I'm completely up for it, because even as a a confident screen reader user, some apps still aren't very accessible. Some take a little bit of time to get used to. So if I can do things with my voice, I always try and find a way to do that, because it just saves me a massive amount of time.
Hello, my name is Sania Kellogg, and a life hack that I would like to tell people about is the app called Good Maps. This is an app that allows you to navigate indoors independently. I used this actually for the first time a couple of weeks ago when I attended a National Federation of the Blind National Convention in New Orleans, Louisiana, in the US. I used it to get around the hotel, to locate bathrooms, locate certain lifts. I also used it for getting to a Starbucks within the hotel and a couple of other restaurants within the hotel as well. And it was really, really helpful. There's a short tutorial to tell you how to use the app and certain ways that you need to hold your phone and move it around. And then once you've done that, you basically hold your phone and you walk around. You have to pan the phone around a little bit, and then it will tell you to turn right or turn left, keep walking, and it'll keep giving you instructions like that until you reach your destination.
Now on RNIB Tech Talk, it's time to talk about social apps. Apps that allow us to connect with each other and share various experiences. Now, the reason I mention this is because of an app that launched fairly recently in the last few months, as of this recording. It's an app I mentioned before, which I was beta testing, called Ramblio. Now, this app, I think it's safe to describe it kind of like an audio version of Facebook, maybe with the elements of TikTok or YouTube. Basically, in short summary, it's an audio-first social platform where you can do, where you can record audio posts and people can comment in either text or audio. You've got a messaging function and a few other bits as well. So I will show you exactly what this app is and give you a little walkthrough to see if you'd like to use it. Some of these apps have been done before. Apps like Voreil, Jacket FM have done similar functions. If you want to go back even further and go back to, say, 2016, 2015 days, you had an app called Roger, which did the same thing. Sadly, as good as it was, it became, well, they stopped supporting it in, I think, about 2017 at some stage. Let's go into it.
Ramblio, stopping Braille screen input, opening Ramblio. Ramblio, feeds, heading.
So the first tab you are focused on is the feeds section. This is where the main feed is. This is where you can see various people's posts and play them and respond to them via quick actions. So I'll show you what the screen has. I'm not going to go through posts details as they can include names of people and such, but let's see what we've got.
Compose new ramble button.
So you can compose new ramble. This is where you can compose a post, and you can even share third-party audio in your post. You can choose zones as well.
Following button.
So you can either filter the feed by the people you are following. So as on most social media platforms, you can follow users.
Selected all rambles button.
Or you can just listen to all posts and be able to look at through all of them and then pick the ones you'd like the sound of.
Select zone button.
You can also select zone. So zones are basically topics that you can ramble about. So if you want to look at posts from a specific topic, maybe you take a particular interest in sports or technology or relationships or anything like that, you can filter by zone as well, i.e. the topic. So that's that part. And then you're going to be in your list of posts where you can have various quick actions.
Israel.
So I've got a post here. Let me swipe up and down and show you what actions you've got.
View profile.
You can view the user's profile.
Report ramble.
You can report rambles, so you can report the post if you feel it's inappropriate.
View comments.
You can view comments, and that will take you to the comments section where you can read comments and reply with your own.
React.
You can give a reaction to a post, whether it is basically based on emojis.
Activate default.
And you can activate the post, which will allow you to simply play it. Let me show you what else you've got.
Selected. Feeds tab. One of five.
So you've got five tabs along the screen. Feeds is the one we've just looked at.
Messages tab. Two of five.
Messages, that's fairly self-explanatory. Users can send messages to each other, and they could be either text or audio. At first it was only audio, but now you can do text as well. And you can speed up audio as well, which is something I've been doing quite a lot with voice messages, because let's face it, if someone sends you a 15-minute voice message, sped up is probably the best.
Hangouts, three items, tab, three of five.
Hangouts. Now, this is quite an interesting one. So for those who remember, well, who still probably use Team Talk servers, or who used Clubhouse, this is a fairly popular feature. This is basically where you can start a hangout, which is a group of voice call, and people can come and join as they please, basically. That is quite simply how that works. So there's that kind of element to it, which other social voice apps have had.
Notifications, tab, four of five.
Notifications, again, fairly self-explanatory. You will be able to see what people have interacted with you in what way. So, for example, if people comment on your posts, you'll be able to see it there. If people follow you, this will show up here as well.
More, tab, five of five.
More tabs next. You've got two things here. Let me show you.
More, heading, go to profile, button.
So you can go to your profile. I'll show you what that is in a minute.
go to settings, button.
And you can go to your settings.
View and manage local recordings, button.
You can also view and manage local recordings. So if you record something and you can kind of delete them before posting and things like that, which is quite useful.
Search for people, button.
You can search for people as well. If you know a user, you can search their name.
View and manage blocked users, button.
And then you've got your block list as well, which can be quite handy. If there's particular users you don't want to interact with for whatever reason, or you don't want them contacting you, or you don't want to see their posts, the block feature is quite useful.
View legal information, button.
Then there's a legal disclaimers.
Sign out of your account,
or button. You can sign out.
Feeds tab, one of five.
And that's that. I'm going to show you what the profile screen looks like, just so you can see what sort of information you can put into your profile.
Go to profile, button, busy, profile, Hubert Porkiewicz.
Okay, that's my profile, with a very difficult last name.
At Hubert3001.
My username, if you want to message me, feel free.
UK radio broadcaster, lover of tech, books, electronic dance music, sports, posh coffee and American whiskey. Feel free to message if you want to chat.
There we go, fairly self-explanatory, short, simple.
27 followers, button. 9 following, button. Edit profile, button. Hubert Porkiewicz, train up recommendation in technology, 2. 44, 6 Diego, 9 comments, 1 reactions, 1 thumbs up, button. Actions available.
And that's what a post looks like. So there was me talking about a train app recommendation, which is nearly departed. That's one very useful app, as I mentioned.
Hubert Porkiewicz, Scotland qualify for the World Cup in sports. 1/11/18/11/2025. 0 comments, 0 reactions. Hubert Porkiewicz, the iPhone pocket in technology. 1/41.
So these are just a few posts, and most profiles are laid out in the same way. So yes, if you would like to look at profiles, that's what you can do. Let me quickly show you the settings.
Settings, heading, hide my rambles from guests, switch button, off. When on, signed out visitors cannot see your rambles, signed in users still can.
So you can actually have an account kind of as a visitor. But I have seen a few people like that, so if you don't want them seeing your posts, that's the setting for you.
Hide AI rambles. Switch button. Off. When enabled, rambles containing AI-generated content are hidden. Note that this setting requires the author to flag their content.
I personally quite like it. I don't really have a problem with AI-generated content, but I appreciate some people may feel otherwise.
Feeds tab. 1 of 5.
And that's the settings. And that...
screen locked.
...is Ramblio. Very good app. Nice and social, and you can use it to either get to know people or talk about your interests. It's quite interesting. There's a bit of everything out there. Nice audio first social media platform. They are always good. It'll be interesting to see what will happen with it and how it will develop. But I hope you enjoyed it. If you do want to use it, it is available on iPhone. It is available as a website as well. So there are a few different platforms. Ramblio, let us know what you think. Are you going to use it? Do you like apps like that? Or are they not your cup of tea? Let us know. techtalk@rnib.org.uk.
. 2025 is almost over, so let's wrap up the year with meaningful reflection, good music, and some silliness. And we have plenty of that for you on the Happy Hour with me, Claire Sisk, and my lovely co-host, Paulina. Isn't that right?
Absolutely. It will help you tackle those end-of-year reflections, look at some quirky 2025 facts, and even help soothe our tummies with a yoga practice that aids digestion.
I'm definitely going to need that after all the chocolate I plan to eat. So catch our end of year reset on the Happy Hour, Saturday the 27th of December at 2 p.m. and again Monday the 29th of December at 1 p.m. only on RNIB Connect Radio.
Hi, I'm Toby Davey, and do join me here on RNIB Connect Radio on New Year's Day for a cultural journey bringing heritage to life through audio description for blind and partially sighted people for a tour of HMS Belfast, London's unique warship experience, with Nigel Steele, one of the Imperial War Museum's curators of Belfast.
So, Nigel, we're in front of HMS Belfast Ship's Bell. Nigel, what am I touching? Because I think that's the crest of Belfast.
That's right. What you found there is the badge of the city of Belfast. And on the top of the badge is a seahorse.
Oh, yeah.
And to one side. And it was from that badge that the ship took the emblem of the seahorse to be part of its own badge. And so it perpetuates that link between Belfast, the city, and Belfast, the ship that was built there, which continues to this day. And I think we'll also, the new HMS Belfast, which will be launched in 2026, 2027, will also continue that link as well and provide a historical continuity through our ship back to that original building of the ship in 1936 to 38.
So do join me for a cultural journey, bringing heritage to life for blind and partially sighted people, for a tour of HMS Belfast, here on RNIB Connect Radio on New Year's Day, Thursday the 1st of January at 4 p.m, repeated Saturday the 3rd of January at 12 noon.
Making technology accessible. Tech Talk.
Hello, my name is Jeanette Scott. I'm blind. I'm also a guide dog owner and I live in Scotland. I have a life hack that I use every day practically. And what it is, I call it let it go. Sometimes things in your life can get a bit too much. If you're out and about, maybe somebody's been harassing you with your guide dog, access refusals, people not understanding you're blind. All these little things can mount up in your brain. At the end of the day, you need to let them go. I let them go by typing them all up on my computer and get everything off your chest. Be as rude as you want to, because nobody will see it. It's your private things that are going on in your head. Write it all up and then let it go. You let it go by doing or pressing the Control A keys on your keyboard, which highlights all the text, and then sit back, relax, and just press the delete key. And that's it. It's all gone.
My name is Michal Smith. I'm a campaigns officer with RNIB in Northern Ireland. I work with Joe Kenny on our new RNIB NI podcast. My life hack would be setting a reminder for myself to contact people in my life, because I'm pretty bad at remembering to do so. And the key thing that's saved me on many occasions is a degree of peer support. I think my life hack would be to reach out to people, to let them know that you're thinking of them, to chat over anything they might need to chat about, and to let them hear you as well. Because I think the most important thing in life is to not feel that you're alone.
Hi, my name is Sabine, and my little trick to achieve a great makeup is to use ChatGPT's accessible makeup mirror. It will guide you through all your makeup process, your eyeshadow, lipstick, foundation, and you will get an awesome look.
So we've heard a couple of life hacks there from a few listeners, but I want to hear from the rest of the team on this. What are your tech tips, or what sort of tech do you use at this time of year just to help things run a little bit more smoother, or to make Christmas a bit more fun? Cuba, have you got any tips on this one?
I'm currently waiting for my Meta glasses to be fixed. I currently don't have them. However, what I've done before, even I had these glasses, is I always like to voice record me opening my presents. Aww. And kind of doing a little bit of a voice description as to what I'm getting and, you know, what everything is. Not for any reason in particular, but apart from just keeping memories. But what I like doing, and I don't know how many people actually do it that way, because you can just record on your phone and that's perfectly fine. But I like to record this on my Apple Watch using either voice memos or just press record, because it's just an easier microphone. You don't have to worry that much about where the phone is, because the microphone's on your wrist. And I often do find myself recording certain events I'm at, or certain things I want to capture as a memory, on my watch, because it's just easier. You don't have to constantly hold your phone as a microphone. So I often record them on the Apple Watch, whether it's opening my presents, or, you know, recording everyone else opening their gifts, if that's what we want to do. But for me, it's just a nice little memory to have which I may or may not listen to, but it's just nice that it's there.
And that microphone on the Apple Watch is surprisingly good as well.
It's not bad.
It's pretty good.
It's not that bad at all, to be fair. For what it is, I think it is pretty good for what you're doing. And okay, you're not recording anything professionally, but that's not what it's for. But it is quite nice to kind of record little memory captures sort of thing that you can then add to your journal entries, for example, or, you know, whatever you wish to do.
That's a really nice idea. Because everybody's so photo-focused.
Yeah.
And I kind of felt a bit that way, funnily enough, when some radio stations started doing YouTube channels as well. And I thought, can we not have some things that don't need to have a visual element?
Yeah.
Like, can't some things be left sacred?
Yeah.
But I really like that as an idea the other way around.
Maybe I'm going the other way with this, because I can't wait to use it. One of the things that I want to do, if I get the chance, is using my Meta glasses. I've said before about how much easier it is to get photos and get videos. One of the things that I really want to do is get a few videos of James, my little one-year-old son. I want to get some clips of him opening his presents. And
aww.
I really want to do... We did a similar thing for his birthday. So, like, when it comes to kind of the morning and, you know, Santa's been... Hopefully. We've already got it sort of planned out where the idea, as long as things go to plan, is that I'll go into the little playroom bit that we've got where all his presents are going to be, and then Jess will bring him in and I'll be there sort of videoing, you know, to see his reaction and to video him opening his presents. And it's a good quality camera, so good for the sighted people, but also you get that 3D audio, that spatial audio, whatever it is, from the Meta glasses. So it's a good experience all round, and it's just, I've said before, but just such an easy way to like capture that memory. You know, all I have to do is look in his direction, and yeah, okay, it might not be perfect, but damn sight easier than trying to hold the phone out and do it.
Is there a limit on how long the video can be, Callum, if you're using the Meta glasses? I can't remember.
If you use it, yeah, so they can be up to 3 minutes, although I did see software update saying they've upped it to 5, but I can't find that. So I don't know if that's US only for now.
Maybe trickling through.
As usual with their approach.
Yeah. So at this point, I mean, to be fair, this could have changed by Christmas Day, but yeah, 3 minutes at the minute, which is actually a fairly long time. Like, it sounds quite short, but it's not bad. And you can, as soon as it stops recording, you can just start again. So yeah, it's pretty good. What are you thinking, Natalie? Is there anything you use?
Not so much for Christmas Day itself, though seeing AI definitely will make an appearance when I'm going through various gift sets of, you know, bath sets, whatever, trying to remember which one's which or what they've all got in them. And I am going to stereotype here. It does not help that I have three brothers, because they'll all just be like, oh, that's bath stuff. I'm like, that's really not helpful.
We want to know what it is, what's in it.
Yes.
You know, what kind of fragrance is it? Well, you can open it and smell it, obviously, but it's, yeah, we like to know these things, don't we?
Yes, and will I like it before I open it and destroy the package?
Yeah, that's more the point.
Yeah. But more sort of ahead of Christmas, so I get maybe a little bit late now. But something I struggle with is cards, because a few years ago, many years ago, as a secondary school, and I went to buy my mum a birthday card, and I told the shop assistant how old I was, and I was looking for mum's birthday card, and the reason I told her how old I was I wanted it to be sort of age appropriate. You know, you can get ones that are clearly intended to come from a young toddler or an older child or adult kind of thing. And although I'd given her that information and quizzed her on that, you know, it sounds like a nice card, but do you think it's right for somebody who's 15, 16, however old I was? And she's like, yeah. And then when I gave it to my mum, she was happy with it. But she knew I wouldn't have picked it if I had seen it, because she was like, it was a bit young. And I got that feeling. So since then, I decided I just wouldn't do cards. It was easier not to. But we then have all these options now for electronic cards. And I've done some of those. But what I like to do, if I can, is there's an app called Snapfish. And it's not the most successful app by any stretch of the imagination. And it has good days and bad days, or I have good days and bad days with it. But it allows you to create personalised cards. And with a bit of sighted assistance quite often, I will take some cute photos, usually of my cat posing in front of the Christmas tree. Or I think one year I bought him a cat bed in the shape of a snowman. So I got a picture of him curled up inside it, which is very cute. And was able to personalise the message and get 20 or 30 or however many it was I wanted printed. And it meant that, okay, arguably everybody got the same card, though I obviously wrote their names on the envelope myself. But it meant I knew what the card was and I gave something that I chose and that I liked and I knew what people were getting. So it was me from start to finish. And for anybody else who feels the same way, that's something I thought I'd maybe share.
I'm glad you brought that up, actually, because I've never found a good way of doing this, of buying cards for people. I've always got sighted help with it. And that's fine for me most of the time, because my wife is sighted. So she can just have a look through and say, yeah, this one looks good. But when I'm trying to buy cards for her, Be My AI and things like that help a little bit, but I've never been entirely confident what I'm getting.
Yeah, and you want it to be your taste. What you would pick wouldn't be the same as what Hubert would pick necessarily. Yeah. And the other thing I should say is last year, unfortunately, it didn't work out for me to be able to do it this way. So I had a frantic look on, yes, my guilty pleasure, Amazon, and found the option to personalize cards, and this was slightly different. So you could choose from different images that were already there. I'm sure if I'd looked harder, I would have found ones that I could have uploaded a photo to, but I thought with outside help, I'm not risking that. But I found ones that you could personalize the message inside. So last year, although I couldn't personalize the front of the cards, I was happy enough with the image description that gave me. I think it was Santa flying over a house. But I personalised the inside, and actually I wrote a wee poem. And it was really funny because somebody afterwards said they really liked it and actually couldn't bring themselves to throw the card away. And I said, oh, that's really good because I wrote it. And she had no idea. So obviously looked good and sounded good.
I am tempted. I haven't done it this year, but I'm tempted to try out Inner Search for cards, actually. Because obviously they've got all these AI descriptions and stuff built in. I'm kind of curious how well that would work. Jackie, anything from you?
My tip is to make sure that you have plenty of batteries in the house, because you can bet that if you get a recorder or something that needs batteries, always make sure that before you do your final Christmas shop at the grocery store or wherever you do, chuck some AA's and AAA's in there. They tend to be the most popular. So that's my tip, which it's common sense really. But I do use my phone quite a bit over Christmas in terms of checking out Christmas cards, which this year I'll obviously be again using my Meta glasses to any cards that have come so far. I can read them and get it to tell me the pictures. But it's useful if you get a box, and rather than open it and pull everything out of it, it's maybe nice to have a picture. Hey Meta, what is in this box, or what does this box show? So that's really useful. And Be My Eyes, of course, is another app to use, or Seeing AI. I mean, there's just so many of them. But I do like on Christmas morning, what I've been doing the last few years is having a FaceTime with my son and his partner and their two little boys. And I love tuning in. It's like I'm just dropped in on the side and I just listen. She takes them downstairs for Christmas. She takes them down the stairs and they go into the living room and they've got their parcels. And has he been? Has he been, Mummy? Has he been? And it is just so lovely to listen. And then Ezra will always, he's the older one of the two, and he will always say, "Gran, he's brought me a present." And I say, "Has he really?" And I just love eavesdropping on it. And it is just this joy of being there, but not being there, if you know what I mean. It's the next best thing. And it's just lovely to be able to use. I mean, in years gone by, my own grandparents, when I was small, they would have a conversation with my aunts in New Zealand. And it used to be that you could only stay on for so many minutes because it cost an absolute arm and a leg. And that's normally what the family clubbed together to buy my nan for Christmas. She would have a phone call with her daughter. And it was so sad because I always remember them crying, both of them. And, you know, saying, I miss you and all that. Wish you were here. And it's just the thought that anybody can do that nowadays with WhatsApp or FaceTime, whatever, you know, and it is just lovely to be able to have that ability to talk, and it isn't going to cost you anything. So you can use WhatsApp or FaceTime, whatever you're using. And I just think that's a lovely thing at Christmas to have in families, if you have it.
Oh, it is. Yeah, it is amazing. I laughed a lot when you spoke about batteries just then, because I thought I'd stocked up on batteries. And so I ordered on Amazon, I ordered sort of, I think it was like three packs of AA's and three packs of AAA's. I can't remember how many was in a pack, but like they were big, you know, big boxes. And then when the delivery actually turned up, there was about six packs of each that turned up, and me and Jess share an Amazon account. So I said to Jess, did you edit this and add more of these? She went, yeah, you bought nowhere near enough. And I was like, what are you talking about? There must be about 50 batteries now that we've got, along with the ones that we already have. She was like, yeah.
But that's children's toys.
Yeah.
Children's toys. Always say, batteries not included.
Yeah. Or if they are included, it's like these are temporary batteries, you know, just enough to try them out kind of thing. Yeah.
But what made it worse as well, she was like, yeah, we've got all James's toys. And she said, you've clearly no idea how many lights and stuff I've got to go up. Because she's got siblings who are quite a bit younger than her. I mean, they're all adults now, but obviously she was a fair bit older while they were kids. So she said, I looked at your order and thought, yeah, you've never done this before, have you?
You can tell. Things like that, you can tell. It's like, you didn't have younger siblings, did you?
Yeah. Well, I'm going to mention timers. I know that's a really boring one, but some people think I'm weird, but I'm doing Christmas dinner for us this year, and I really enjoy it. I really enjoy doing the Christmas dinner. I love cooking. And a lot of people don't realise this, that if you're using a smart speaker, so if you're using like Lady A or the Google smart speaker, I know you can do this on the Apple Watch as well. Not sure about the iPhone. I seem to remember the iPhone doesn't let you do this, but you can create multiple timers at the same time, and you can also name them as well. And it's only a little thing, but I'm still surprised. You've been able to do this for a while, but so many people don't realize that you can do it. So you can say like, start a 2-hour timer called turkey, but then later on you can do I'm just making these numbers up here, but you know, later on down the line you can do start a 30-minute timer for cold potatoes, start a 25-minute timer called whatever, and
Brussels sprouts.
Yeah, yeah.
That surprises me, Callum, that you find a lot of people don't know about this, because I'm sure my A lady told me the first time I set two timers, she said, "Do you want to name this timer?" She asked me. What I find quite funny, though, is I do sometimes run into the whole Scottish accent problem. And a few times, apparently, I've been cooking a green bin, not green beans. My I'm like, well, I know what you mean. I'll do.
I'll come round your house for Christmas dinner.
Using a two-draw air fryer, I do it all the time because you can cook two different things in an air fryer at the same time in two separate drawers, and I love that feature. So when you're cooking over the holiday period, if you are using an air fryer, for example, and cooking two different things, you can do the same. I mean, yeah, the air fryer will take care of that for you, but if you just want that extra reassurance, you've got that option. Or you may have an air fryer that doesn't talk. It's a fantastic option either way.
I've just had it where I've been doing that, and it will do the alarm before I realize, because it took me a while to realize that you could name them. I knew you could do more than one, but I didn't know you could sort of name them. So I would get to a point where the alarm would go off and I'd be like, hang on, wait, what am I doing? Which one's this?
See, that's less a problem. What is a problem is when you say, how long left on timer? And she says, there are no timers set. You go, ah. Oh,
yeah. There you go, some of our top technology tips for Christmas there. If you've got any that you want to share with us, get in touch. How do you make the most of technology during the festive period? techtalk@rnib.org.uk.
Time now on RNIB Tech Talk to once again take a trip down a technology memory lane of sorts as we go through another tech timeline. Joining me today is Sami Alsanhuri to take me through his tech timeline. Sami, thank you for joining.
Always a pleasure. Thanks for having me.
So let's start at the very beginning, shall we? What was your first piece of technology that you've used, assistive or mainstream or, you know, in general?
My first piece of tech that I ever used was the iPad. This was back in 2011. That feels really bizarre to say now. Yeah, that was around sort of the iPad 2 or thereabouts. But yeah, so that was literally most mainstream piece of tech I ever used. And that was my first introduction to the screen reader voiceover.
How did you find it at the time when you kind of, you know, up until that point, touchscreen devices, you kind of thought, well, they're not really accessible. How did you find it when you actually got your hands on it for the first time and got to use a screen reader on a touchscreen device?
Really daunting. I didn't know what I was doing. And of course, at the time, I was maybe 7, 8. So trying to figure that out and was really my first step into accepting my blindness at the time, because for the most part I was running around with the other kids. We were all falling over, getting up, so it didn't make a difference that I was blind in real life circumstances. So to actually then have that be so compounded by the fact that I was having to figure out a screen reader on such a mainstream touchscreen device was really my first foyer into realizing and accepting that I am blind / visually impaired.
I think I remember discovering VoiceOver around a similar time, and the only thing I trusted myself to do at that point is to type in the Notes app.
Yeah, definitely.
I wasn't really sure if I can do anything else.
I remember thinking, I was scrolling down with VoiceOver and, you know, it said Safari, and I was like, what is that? I am probably going to break this device if I try and figure this out.
What would you say is your favourite piece of technology that you have or you have had?
I do love using a laptop. I think it is an incredible device, and it's come so far. You know, it comes now with programs like Narrator naturally built in, installable adaptations like Zoom Text, Jaws, all those softwares. And I think, you know, for the capabilities of a laptop and a computer to be so at our fingertips now with the necessary adaptations, I think that makes it my favorite device.
Let's jump to the present then. What piece of technology is currently making the big difference in your life?
Primarily, my laptop has been a very big impact. It's gotten me through college. It's gotten me through gaming. It's really become a major player in my day-to-day as well as sort of working life, as someone who volunteers with some charities such as TPT and Look UK and others. So it's really become sort of my main tool, really. And then I would say also my phone, just in terms of sort of communicating with people and even small research tasks. I would say those are like the two core pieces of tech for me.
Now, it's an interesting question to ask kind of younger tech users, but I'll ask you this anyway. If there's a piece of technology you'd like to see revived, maybe you've used something a long time ago that doesn't exist anymore, or maybe you've kind of heard about a bit of technology that was around many years ago that isn't anymore, is there anything you'd like to see come back?
I've got to say, I would love to see dictaphones make a sort of wider public use, just because they were so simple, so portable, and so sleek for their time. And I don't think, yes, the sound quality and playback was a bit rough, but I don't think you get anything as good as those anymore. I mean, obviously, and now, you know, with more capabilities to connect them to things like Audacity to make the sound quality better, I think they would be a very big piece to see come back.
Yeah, I use them quite a lot from the professional side of things, but, you know, from the professional ones, they can be quite big. Some of them can be smaller, but I remember when I had my first one, it was a tape one, recorded onto tape. Remember these tapes?
Oh, love tapes.
I mean,
my grandmother still has a collection somewhere that I occasionally play back.
I mean, you can't get rid of these sometimes. I'm sure I still have some somewhere in my house, which, you know, bring back some nostalgia. But we move from nostalgia to the very future of tech. If you could kind of imagine one future development of technology, what would you like to see tech do in the future?
I would like to see tech, I think, almost work alongside our senses, not so much to sort of replace them or cure them in cases where people have lost senses, but more to enhance them. So, for example, you know, we're already sort of working on things like Orcam readers and Meta glasses, but I'd love to see, you know, how far we can push those enhancements to aid people. I'd just generally like to see tech continue to develop and see where it ends up.
Fantastic. Well, thank you very much, Sammy, for joining me for a bit of a tech exploration with your tech timeline here on R&IB Tech Talk. If you have your own tech timeline that you want to explore, well, do let us know. You can drop us an email, techtalk@rnib.org.uk.
And that is it from us this week. Thank you so much, as always, for tuning in. Next week, we will be looking back at some of the best of Tech Talk from 2025. So some of the highlights, some of the best demos we've had, some of the most interesting interviews, all of that. So do join us for that. In the meantime, from me, Callum Stoneman, Hubert Pavalkovich, Jackie Brown and Natalie Curran, have an amazing Christmas and bye for now. We'll see you next week.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas. See you on the other side.
Merry Christmas.
Bye-bye.